Tactopia. Tektopia er en podcast om mennesker og deres teknologi. Den er udgivet af Ingeniørforeningen IDA i samarbejde med Teknologiens Mediehus, med støtte fra Industriens Fond, Innovation Center Danmark, Messecenter Herning og IDA Forsikring. Mit navn er Henrik Føns, og det er mig, der bestemmer i Tektopia. I sidste uge, der afholdt EU-kommissionen et EU mod virus hackathon. Det, der gik ud på, det var, at en masse mennesker, de mødtes virtuelt, og så byggede de løsninger, som kunne løse nogle af de problemer, som var opstået i forbindelse med coronakrisen. De fandt ikke færre end 117 vindere inden for en række forskellige kategorier, men det, der måske var mest imponerende, var, at, og måske fordi det var virtuelt, at der var så mange mennesker, der deltog, for der var faktisk over 20.000 deltagere og over 2.000 projekter, og 1.400 mentorer og mere end 400 jurymedlemmer. Jeg linker til hele projektet fra tektopia.dk, fordi det, vi skal koncentrere os om i den her udgave af Tektopia, det var et studenterprojekt, som havde til formål at hjælpe studerende, som er strandet ude i den store verden og ikke rigtig kan komme på universitetet, eller hvad det nu er for en læreranstalt, de går på. Så der er nogle friske unge mennesker, som har lavet en app, der hedder MentorMe, hvor man kan få fat i en mentor via appen. Jeg har talt med de unge fyre, som står bag den, som kommer fra så forskellige steder som Kypern og Ecuador. Og så har jeg talt med formanden for den nordiske sammenslutning af ingeniørforeninger, Trond Markussen, for at finde ud af, hvorfor han som jurymedlem var med til at udpege lige netop det her projekt og at give det 4.000 euro, så de kunne komme videre med det, de unge mennesker. Allerførst skal vi lige hilse på Ines Portgeisker, der er generalsekretær i ANE, Association of Nordic Engineers, som lige lynhurtigt vil sætte os ind i, hvad det her det gik ud på.
So the reason for ANE, the Association of Nordic Engineers, to get involved in the EU hackathon against the coronavirus was for the firstly to show the solidarity with the European Union, because some of our members are also member of the European Union. And secondly, when the crisis of this scale occurs, there is no one standing alone that can find the solution. So it was really important for us to show that also engineers can be a part of these bigger solutions. And it was very important for us to support the new ideas, especially when they come from the young generation.
What did you look for?
We, of course, wanted to be a part of this bigger game, as I said before. And secondly, when we looked at the proposed challenges, of course, the challenge remote working and education was very appealing to us, because we closely work with areas such as STEM competences, lifelong learning, and also attracting more young people choosing the engineering education. This is why we saw that this challenge was more linked or closely linked to our work with them. And then, as you know, in the hackathon, under each big overall challenge, you could choose sub-challenges. And then we have decided that we would like to be a partner in the hackathon, meaning to award a prize to a winning team in the subcategory student challenge. Because we also consider that it's tremendously important to support and provide the help to young generation to find a new solution.
Og det sagde altså Ines Portgeisker, der er generalsekretær i ANE, som står for Association of Nordic Engineers. Men lad os hilse på de unge fyre, som har lavet appen MentorMe, som de vandt kategorien Remote Working and Education Students Challenge med i det netop afviklede EU Hackathon mod virus.
David, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. My name is David. I'm 21 years old. I'm a second year student of mechanical engineering. I am from Ecuador. I've been living in the Netherlands for the last 3 years, and I am part, together with Gleb and Marteza, of the MentorMe team.
I'm Gleb. I also live in the Netherlands. I am from Cyprus,
and I'm about to graduate. And I also work as a graphic designer at an agency. And yeah, joined the competition together with David and Morteza.
Could you please tell me then, what about something about your solution? What is MentorMe, and what kind of problem do you try to solve with this mobile app?
Yeah, sure. Maybe I can start talking about the problem, and then Glef can elaborate more on the solution. So basically, we realized that because of this huge crisis that we are living now, everybody was forced to make this transition to remote education and work. And it's true there are a lot of tools that help to do this, but we realize that there are also a lot of challenges and a lot of issues that need to be solved. So we were looking into those issues. We realized that primary and secondary students, they have a different learning process than adults, and they require more personalized attention from a teacher sometimes, and because of all of the measurements and remote education in general, they cannot get in touch with a teacher as much as they used to do it when they go to a school. So we decided to create an app that allows primary and secondary students to connect with volunteer mentors. It can be students from universities or people with a background in some specific area. So yeah, that's basically the problem, and I think Glef can elaborate more on the solution now.
Yeah, so as David mentioned, we are working on developing a platform. Besides just being an app, we're also going to try and work out a desktop version. And the way that we're approaching it is really on the factor of getting help quickly. Because right now, there is, of course, this sort of waiting time with everything. When you do things digitally, you have to email someone, message someone, wait for them to see it, get a reply. And within our platform, we have the approach that the student simply requests help. For example, if I am a high school student, I may be struggling with my math assignment. I want to ask a quick question. I select math. And I type in my quick question, and then the platform sort of sends out a notification to a handful of volunteers with the idea that one of them will answer on that request. And then they will get instantly connected by video so that the student can ask the question and get the help that they need quickly. I like to think of it comparatively as raising your hand in the classroom, but instead you're doing it digitally. So kind of raising that hand, saying, hey, I need some quick help. Who can assist me?
But isn't this a service which is already being done by the university or the school which you are attending? I mean, why would you need someone from the outside to help you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Indeed, every school, every university has their own also channels of communication and to help students. And we're not trying to replace that in any way, but rather be an addition to that, because those channels have their own limitations. So one being time. For instance, if I try to reach out to a teacher, they may not be working someday, they may be in meetings, they have other classes that they're teaching live. So when I'm working on my assignments, I cannot get that quick help that I can. Or another interesting thing that I've been personally reading about is the struggles that a lot of parents face. So right now, a lot of parents are, of course, became teachers for their younger children, you know, teaching them some basic things. But of course, when you graduate a university, you know, a lot of the knowledge goes away. And a parent who works as, you know, doing something in business or marketing can often struggle helping their child with math homework. It's actually not that simple. You forget how to approach the questions. You might know how to do an answer, but you don't know how to actually teach them. And there is all of these forums popping up of parents trying to ask questions to help them teach their kid. And this solution can also help out the parents. So a parent can reach out to a volunteer, and the volunteer can then explain to the parent and the child together what that may be. And lastly, we also want to address, you know, the students who don't have such advanced schools, because of course in Netherlands, in Denmark as well, in Germany, in a lot of European countries, the school systems work really well, and they are prepared, and they manage to go digitally very quickly. But in a lot of countries, they're not succeeding so much. So back home in Cyprus, for example, the digital infrastructure is not set up well, and the schools don't have large budgets, or I must say even large care, to shift to digital so quickly. So they are not actually capable of helping the students as much as they could when they were there physically present.
How are you going to secure the quality of the mentors?
Yeah, so basically, right now we had a meeting to try to set up everything and make a planning for the next stage of our project, which is going more deep into the development and into the model itself. So the idea that we have now is that when you download the app or you go into the website, you can sign up either as a mentor or either as a student who needs help. And once you sign up as a mentor, then you have to fill in a form with your personal details and your area of expertise. And once you send that, we can filter that information to choose which people is suitable for doing the mentor job. And also, we are planning to have a feedback system. So once you build your profile, your profile will be on the platform. And based on the experience that the students had with you, you can rank a person inside of the platform and see how his performance will be. And based on that, we can also make decisions to control the quality.
Yes. And in addition to what David has mentioned, we have been reached out by a interesting startup in Germany called the Corona School, which is also a project that was developed during a hackathon, but in Germany specifically. And they are working on a similar problem of connecting students and mentors, and they have seen a lot of success. And right now what they are doing is they are open sourcing their algorithms for matching, as well as screening mentors. So we will be implementing existing tools for screening procedures from other companies that are willing to share that code and their processes. So we are happy that we can learn a lot of how to screen people from other companies in the field.
What does the future hold for your app?
Yeah, so as I said before, well, first of all, right now we are going through, we have seen a lot of support from different areas, the university, where we are part of a project called the Design Lab, and we are also getting a lot of support from them. So right now, we really need to focus on the development part and to build a concrete model. So once we have that ready, we are going to decide which areas are the ones that we really need to focus more, and based on that, make the investment in those areas. But right now, I would say that the main focus will be the development part. We need to have more people for doing the programming. We need to have more people for doing the coding part, which I think that is one of the most complex. Gleb said that this German startup will help us a lot, and that's true. But of course, there are more challenges and complex issues there that will need to be addressed at some point. So for now, I think the main goal of that investment will be to help us with the development part.
Could you tell me a bit about your business plan?
Yes, sure. So that's, of course, also something that we will be defining more concretely as we go along. Right now, as David mentioned, besides building the MVP, the minimum viable product, which the investment will help us with, of course, we need to work a lot on marketing. So first thing is about reaching out the audience. That's a really big challenge. This is a very niche and specific audience to reach out to. It's students, it's parents, it's schools. And we will be trying to utilize different channels. That will be online forums. That will be online communities on Facebook, other websites where parents are discussing, teacher forums, as well as those of students approaching schools directly to offer the solution. And of course, right now the idea is that this will, you know, we are not trying to make this a profitable business. Right now the goal is to just help as many students as we possibly can, to get as many volunteers on the platform as we can, to get the word out there, to get people to register. So going further, the perhaps monetization part or sustainability part, how would we be able to bring value in a way to sustain the product, to keep helping the students? That's something we're still figuring out. I think in large part we'll be relying on perhaps contracts with schools directly or governments of certain countries directly for the support. Alternatively, there can be a model where a student can contribute, whether, you know, that's 10 cents, 1 euro, whatever people may see suitable to the platform. But the specifics of that, we still need to figure out. But we will be getting support for that from a business unit that also works with our university, who will be helping us in the next couple of weeks to figure out a more precise business model and how to make sure that we can keep running the project.
And will it be available on both Android and iPhone?
Yes. So the already the MVP for testing will be developed using React Native, which is a programming language that allows you to build on all platforms, so including web, iOS, and Android. That's our goal, of course, to be able to make the platform work from anywhere, no matter how expensive of a device you have or what device you might have.
And when is it released?
Our goal is to move quickly. We need to move as quickly as during the hackathon, because of course this is a problem that needs to be helped and addressed now. So our ambitious goal is to have an MVP ready to launch within the next 2 months, hopefully by middle towards end of June. And to do that, of course, we need to do a lot of user testing. We need to have a good architecture of the technology part and so on. But I'm confident that within the next 2 months we'll be able to launch a ready tested product.
You're sitting here in the midst of the corona crisis. What do you think about it? How do you think this will affect your future?
Yeah, I think especially for people that are getting their diplomas this year, it's a huge challenge. Academically speaking, we have been, as I said before, forced to make this transition, and we have to adapt to this new trend of online education. So I think this crisis really gave us a lesson. So in the sense that we were not prepared in some areas to do the job properly. Maybe we were more prepared in other parts, but in some areas we were not prepared to do the work properly. So and that can be seen in a lot of different education institutions around the world. So I think that a lot of universities, a lot of schools now will give a lot of importance to remote education. They will invest a lot to make more efficient platforms, to make more efficient websites to provide to the students with that help that they need. But in our particular case, for example, a lot of activities that require specifically to go to the university, to be there using the labs, using the equipment, have been canceled. And that, of course, affects a lot the way you learn, the way how you can understand some concepts in a more deep way, because you cannot do that from remote education. So I think it will be a huge challenge for everybody in that sense. So yeah, we have to see what are the best solutions for that as well.
On a more personal note, I guess in terms of, as you asked, like the future and the current situation, I would say that also for myself, for instance, I'm graduating, but I think that I'm personally not so worried, let's say, about my next year going forward, because we, at least I noticed already this transition with a lot of companies towards digital. So a lot of different companies, small and large, they realize that, oh, you can actually continue to work online. It doesn't mean you need to fully shut off your business or not be able to hire new interns or hire new employees. So I think that for a lot of students graduating, there will still be maybe not as much opportunity, but still a decent amount of opportunity, just in a weird new way where we might not be able to need to move to the city where that company operates, but instead somehow work online at our first job, which I think is very, very new and very unseen before.
How do you work together? I mean, how did you do the hackathon? Did you actually meet the three of you? Did you sit in the same room or did you work over the internet?
No, completely online. So just like everything else right now, completely digitally. We were using online calling platforms, communicating through Slack, calling through different video platforms, using a digital whiteboard. It's really amazing. You can actually, I think for certain tasks, work better online than in person. And the hackathon really shows that very well, with all the amazing projects that were achieved without people actually meeting in person.
Ja, der er ingen tvivl om, at de mennesker, som tager en uddannelse i dag, og som måske også afslutter deres uddannelse i år, eller måske til næste år, står med et helt særligt sæt udfordringer, som ingen før dem har stået med. Jeg snakker også med Trond Markussen, der er formand for Association of Nordic Engineers, ANE, og spurgte ham, hvad det var, han synes, der var særligt godt ved det her projekt, og hvad det egentlig havde betydet at arbejde virtuelt med et hackathon.
This hackathon came up as an idea to see if you could bring up some good ideas for the corona situation we are in, and what could what kind of ideas could that be? So and Anna found out that this would be interesting to be a part of. We've had a similar hackathon in Norway earlier, and doing this larger, not only in one country but within whole EU, it's even more interesting. So we said that we want to be a part of that, and also, if possible, we would like to be in the jury, because that gives us the possibility to look into the different projects, and we would like to give a special prize to some of the or at least one of the winners. So that was our idea joining the hackathon this time.
What kind of possibilities do you see in the MentorMe project?
That's a good question. Their ideas, when we look into the project, their ideas that a lot of youngsters stay home and sort of have to do self-study. Easy for some because they might have parents that can help them out. Difficult for most of them because even parents have problems meeting their demands and answering their questions. So on one side, it is difficult to be a youngster studying now because you don't have the help from from the school and from your teachers. And on the other hand, we have students at high school, university, who might have some more time and willingness to share their knowledge. So this gives a possibility to help out each other, both for the youngsters to get input, feedback, ideas, and also for the elderly students to help out and also practice their knowledge on youngsters. So I think this could be a win-win situation.
Well, why do you see there is a greater need for this during the Corona crisis, an app like this?
First of all, this could be not only during the Corona crisis, but it pops up as a very good idea right now. When I looked into this, sure, it's a good right now because we don't have the possibility to physically be at school, physically meet with our teacher, and you need that as well. But on the other hand, I thought that this might be a good idea right now with the Corona situation, but it also might be a good idea in the future because even though you're meeting your class at school, discussing with your teacher, you're still working at home, and you still might have some situation where, I would really love to have someone with knowledge to discuss, to learn more. So what starts now during the Corona pandemic could also be a tool for the future, and that makes it even more interesting, I think.
But isn't this a solution that the universities, the schools should do themselves? I mean, why does it have to be someone externally?
Yeah, that's a good question. And this is something that the schools themselves should have. But on the other hand, they might not have the capacity to meet with all the students. They might not have the time to really deliver on this. And it might be that there are other students who could help out and might find this at a high level, might find this even interesting to do in parallel with their own studies, because they might have some time, they have this knowledge updated, so it could be interesting for also elderly students to participate and do this not only during the Corona situation but also later on.
So you see this as sort of a peer-to-peer project?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I really do, and I hope so. So it will be interesting to follow if this is just something that's happening now during the Corona pandemic, or if this is something that will survive and be interesting also for the future.
Now, you have done this or participated in this hackathon during the Corona crisis, and I assume that it has been done virtually. The people didn't meet to do the hackathon.
Yeah, and that's interesting. The people joining the hackathon, the groups that made the jobs and did the project, they were working separately. That is interesting. They made it happen and it worked. We, the jury, never met. We also did it via internet, and that worked very good. So it was an interesting way of working and finding out this could be done. That also made it more international. I don't know where all the other jury members came from. So we could be from all over Europe, which we were, and it worked. So that's what really makes this interesting. It's crossing borders in a new way, and we are learning new ways of working. And that is, we've been discussing the possibility of digital meetings, digital activities, but the Corona made it happen and made it happen very fast. And what's interesting is to see how fast we adapt, how easy this is. Sure, we would like to meet, and there are sort of better development and better processes if we meet, sit around a table, but this works very, very good. So I'm really impressed over what came out from this hackathon. this is something that came out due to the pandemic and made someone found it possible to make new solutions, and it worked. And what I'm hoping for is that we also for the future, sure, I would like us to meet, to interact physically and have good discussion around the table. But hopefully we can also use this as a tool for the future, both this winning project, MentorMe, but also this is a way of working that we should adapt and use in parallel with the physical meetings also for the future. This could be a good way of working.
Og det sagde altså Trond Markussen, der er formand for ANE, Association of Nordic Engineers. Jeg linker til projekterne for tektopia.dk. Du kan som altid skrive et punkt til mig på henriksnabel@tektopia.dk. Du kan deltage i diskussionen om teknologi på vores Facebook-gruppe, der hedder Tektopia Backstage. Og så kan du følge podcasten på Twitter, @tektopia.dk. Du er også meget velkommen til at høre vores søsterprogram på Radio 4, som du også kan downloade som podcast på radio4.dk. Her er der bare tilbage at sige på genhør, og måske skal jeg også lige beklage lydkvaliteten, men det skyldes jo coronakrisen, at jeg sidder hjemme og laver det her, og alle interviews bliver lavet via forskellige videoplatforme på computeren, så lydkvaliteten bliver nogle gange lidt skidt, så det håber jeg, at I kunne leve med. Vi høres ved. Tektopia er en podcast om mennesker og deres teknologi. Den er udgivet af Ingeniørforeningen IDA i samarbejde med Teknologiens Mediehus, med støtte fra Industriens Fond, Innovation Center Danmark, Messecenter Herning og IDA Forsikring. Mit navn er Henrik Føns, og det er mig, der bestemmer i Tektopia.